Thank you everyone for coming in this talk. Today I'm going to talk about our work entitled Fusion Rules from Entanglement.
Start the, is it on or off?
Which one? Mode or? It's on.
It's on, okay, awesome.
Yeah, so this is a collaboration with Bowen from Ohio and also Isaac, and he's now in PsiQuantum. And this is appeared in archive, like this is archive number, which is basically about how do we connect from between some microscopic description of quantum systems to some abstract theory classifying different phases of matter. So first, I introduced gapped quantum systems and phases. So we are interested in gapped 2D quantum systems, which is defined on some spin lattice, for example. And then we consider 2D local Hamiltonians, which is a sum of some interaction terms which acts on only few neighboring sides. And also, this Hamiltonian should be gapped in the sense that the first lowest energy and first energy have some difference, which is lower bounded by some constant, and this gap should be open for all system sides. And gapped quantum phases are equivalence classes of ground states of these Hamiltonians. So suppose we have two Hamiltonians, H1 and H2, and this ground state psi1 and psi2. And then we say these two states, two ground states are in the same phase or same in equivalence class if we can find some family of Hamiltonian, which is also local, and then interpolate this H1 and H2 without closing gap between them. Here, so in general, we can consider the restricted family of local Hamiltonians, like by imposing symmetries, then we have a different kind of classification of phases. But in through the talk, we just ignore all symmetries, so there's no kind of imposed symmetry in framework. So this is nice picture from Shagan Wen's paper published in, this is review article in Science. So this quantum gapped phases of quantum matter can be divided into short range entangled states and long range entangled states, and also there are also branches, and mostly we are interested in this red part in this one. So now precisely in 1D systems, gapped quantum phases are classified completely, almost certainly. So the first, these two papers establishes classification of 1D systems by using MPS formalism, which assuming the bond dimension in MPS is constant. But recently also this framework is extended to more general translational invariant systems. So basically, the result is any 1D gapped quantum phases are classifying by using some symmetry breaking mechanism and also using symmetry protected topological order. And these are basically described by group theory, like which symmetry is breaking, and also what kind of cohomology class cohomology is living in the virtual links. However, in 2D or higher dimensional systems, the question is still open. But people widely accept that in 2D cases, quantum phases are classified as into some symmetry breaking or SPT, or in addition to these two, we have some exotic phases called topological order. And these are mathematically classified by some category theory, which I will explain later in detail. And we are focusing on the connection between these two. And just in case, in 3D systems, this classification becomes more complicated and more non-trivial. And recently, people mostly really excited that there exists some further exotic phases called fracton phases, which are not in these classes, but still have some interesting properties.
Fracton.
Oh, yeah, fraction. No, no I, yeah. Thanks. Anyway, there is something else, you know. So those topological ordered phases are non-trivial gapped quantum phases with some interesting properties, such as there is no local order parameters, such like magnetization. So you cannot detect the existence by locally. And also, the ground state degeneracy depend on the topology of the system. Like if you consider torus, then the degeneracy is, for example, 4. But if you consider how to say, just surface, then degeneracy is 1 or something like that. And also there are some interesting excitations which are called anions. So basically these anions have a, if you have a two anions, then identical anions, and then swap their positions, then in 3D systems you got plus 1 or minus 1 depending on bosons or fermions, but in 2D systems you can get phase or even unitary matrix. And also in some cases like chiral topological orders, you have some interesting gapless boundaries in the system. Anyway, these four interesting characters are well explained by topological quantum field theory. So if you use topological quantum field theory and, you know, assume that those systems are described by this field theory, then you can explain all these things. And also, this theory gives interesting characterization by using some algebraic theory of anions, which means different topological orders are distinguished by looking excitation properties. And they are formalized by using modular tensor category. So basically, one topological phase corresponds to one some particular modular tensor category, but not vice versa. So now the fundamental question is, how do we exactly prove this connection for generic gapped quantum systems? So now we are interested in some connection between these microscopic descriptions, which is some given spin lattice and Hamiltonians and ground states, basically followed by quantum mechanics. On the other side, we have some abstract theory, category theory, which is summarized as anion theories. And we want to derive this abstract theory from starting from this quantum mechanical settings. There are lots of approaches in this direction. For example, this direction is completely understood in lots of exactly solvable models, like toric code or quantum double or Levin wave models. These are all exactly solvable spin lattice model of topological order, and they actually find these connections. And also, for example, fractional quantum polar effect, and then you can find you know, wave functions and all excitations are classified. However, this is case by case, so, you know. Yes?
Will the rest of the talk require a knowledge of category theory? Or
No.
Okay.
Nothing. And also there are another approach by using tensor network approaches. So you assume that this ground state can be written as so-called projected entangled pair states. This is one of tensor network states. And then you can somehow study these properties by using those tensor network formalism. And also more sort of rigorous way, people also prove this connection in operator algebra settings. Like in all the book of Haag, studying some relativistic continuum field and using some algebraic quantum field theory, somehow derive those anion theories. And also recently, Peter Nijakins and Fida kind of adapt this framework to non-relativistic spin lattice systems, which we are familiar more. But assuming infinite, you know, thermodynamic limit, so you don't have a Hilbert space, but have a operator algebras. And then assuming some property called Haag duality and splitting property associated to some algebras, then you can actually show this anion theory from this microscopic descriptions. but showing these two assumptions are kind of not really. So in summary, there are lots of approaches, but still complete proof of deriving this abstract study from this quantum mechanics is kind of open for generic capital systems. In our approach, we are especially focusing on particular property of ground state in capital systems, which is called area law. So area law is a sort of conjecture which states how the ground state elements of ground states are interacting each other. So for 2D lattice, for example, we pick some region and say it's X, and then calculate entanglement entropy. So this is a measure of bipartite entanglement between region X and also outside of X. And then area law says that this entanglement entropy should be bounded by order of perimeter of X, not volume. This is kind of non-trivial part. And this property is believed to be hold for generic capital system, capital ground states. And actually, this theorem is proven, this area law is proven for 1D capital systems by Hastings, but the complete proof for 2D or higher dimensional systems is still open. And in this talk, we further assume that the special type of area law, so this is more strong form, and so which is entanglement entropy is exactly saturated is found, and also there's first leading term and also some sub leading term which is constant and some term which vanishes eventually when X becomes larger and larger. And this form of area law is, although it's not vigorously proven, but it's confirmed for a lot of exactly solvable models or numerically checked for frustrated systems. So I think it's good to assume this is true. And our work is assuming this area of entanglement. Here, in general, we have some vanishing terms, but we ignore it. So we assume that ground some state satisfy this area of entanglement. And then what we do is basically derive these NEO models. I'll explain what these diagrams or those product means. And basically in our work, we show this up to parts we prove this these properties can be derived from, but just assuming area of entanglement. And now we are trying to extend our result to include this kind of this additional parts, which makes our kind of derivation complete. And notable things of our formalism is, first, we assume the existence of state satisfying this property, but we do not assume it is a ground state of local Hamiltonian. So we don't need any assumption on Hamiltonian, although it's implicitly included in this area law. And this assumption, compared to other approaches, nice things are this assumption is intuitively clear, and also, basically, in principle, you can, for example, test by numerical calculations or something.
You're not assuming a Hamiltonian. What exactly are you assuming, if not a Hamiltonian?
Well, we are just assuming there is a state on 2D spin lattice which satisfies this formula.
How can you say something about the excitations?
No. We define kind of excitations.
Okay.
So sorry, just to be clear. So this is basically, given that the area law is supposed to hold for any local Hamiltonian, is this just saying that any local Hamiltonian is going to have particle-like excitations?
Because we don't know if this holds for any capital local Hamiltonian, we don't know the complete answer, but
it's a conjecture. But
yeah.
Conjecture.
Assuming the conjecture is true, what we showed is unless this strong form of area law holds, then those excitations, depending on how you define, but should obey these rules. That's kind of the result.
Okay. And that applies, sorry, did you say, is this just in two dimensions or is this higher dimensions?
2D. We are considering 2D. But I think our formalism can be extended to higher dimensional.
So does this then imply that there are no fractal models in 2D?
But we are assuming area law and fractal phase, you could violate some properties. So there is some still possibility. So what's the anion theory? So anion theory basically consists of three concepts, charges, fusion rules, and F and R matrices. So charges are possible type of excitations appearing on a system. And basically those excitations are in topological ordered systems, they are anions. And these types are given in terms of some finite label set, 1ABC. And this one denotes the vacuum. And then the fusion rule determines if you combine two particles together, then what's the total charge of two particles? And that property is given by some formal product formula, which is A times B is some sum of NABC. And here NABC is some natural number. This is somehow similar to the representation theory or spin fusions. Like if you have a, you know, two spin half particles, then the total angular momentum can be either zero or one. So it's an extension of this, you know, formula. Then the third thing, F and R matrices are basically defining if you exchange two anions, then what kind of phase or what kind of unitary you get in the wave function. So to see more details, let's consider the example, the toric code. I think it's the easiest one. So toric code is a 2D gapped system, which is exactly solvable. So there are two terms in Hamiltonian, like AB and BP. And AB is applying Pauli X on these four sites, and BP is applying Pauli Z on these four sites. And this is defined for each vertex, and this is defined for each faces. And these two, all interaction terms are commuting, and the ground states are given as a simultaneous ground state of these each term, so it's fluctuation free system. And in this toric code systems, the charge set is given by 1 and E and M and Epsilon. And the anion E is given by applying so-called Z-string. So just apply Z, but not making a loop, but open string. Then this Z anti-commute with interaction term AB here. So it's an excited state. And this actually E can be regarded as some quasi particle of the system. And also by applying X, then we get particle M. And this epsilon is those combined combined particle of E and M. And then the fusion rule is given in a very simple way. So if you fuse combine E and vacuum, then trivially it's again E. Same formula holds for every particles. And also if you combine two same excitations, then they vanish. So if you move this E to bring this to the other particle, then they make a loop. And this is product of two interaction terms, and which doesn't change the Hamiltonian, so back to vacuum. So same property holds for this M. And if you combine E and M, then you get epsilon and blah blah. So basically, in addition to this, and we just add F and R matrix, then you can categorize this toric code. So now move to our framework. So our starting point, in more precisely, we assume some two independent entropic constraints. So we assume that there, so we consider some 2D spin that is embedded on some 2D closed manifold. Then consider some, there's some state, possibly mixed, satisfying the following two axioms. first axiom is if you consider any region like this, AB which with a radius less than mu, which is some constant, then for any this type of region, you get this formula. So conditional entropy plus entropy of A just vanishes. Which intuitively implies means this A, region A and outside B are somehow uncorrelated, so they are product stable, but not exactly equivalent. And the second axiom is more involved, so we have an additional partition ABC, and then we require that this sum of two conditional entropies are zero. And this intuitively means, for example, if you consider system ABD, then the reduced set on ABD is quantum Markov state. And also ACD are quantum Markov states. But yes?
I'm asking the proposed definition. And I just want to ask what is a reference? It's conditional entropy.
Oh, conditional entropy is, yeah, AB minus B.
So what's mu?
Mu is some constant, which in, for example, if you consider some local Hamiltonian system, then mu is order of range of the Hamiltonian. But so far, it's just constant. And these two formulas actually follows from this type of area law. So these terms cancels out and just vanishes. Also, here we require that these equations are satisfied exactly, but we could possibly we can consider some approximate version of these axioms, and we believe that this extension is kind of straightforward in some sense. Also, although we are only assuming these axioms for some constant size balls, we can extend these similar properties for more larger and larger balls by just iteratively using these two axioms. So this restriction is not so strong. So here we say, you know, these two states are quantum Markov states, and actually those play a really important role in settings, so I'll explain what's quantum Markov states. So first we consider linear combination of entropies called conditional mutual information, and then tripartite state law is called quantum Markov state if this conditional mutual information is exactly zero. And this kind of state is well studied in quantum information theory, and they have a nice properties the following. So assuming if this is low ABC is quantum Markov state, then there exists some CPTP map, which is mapping from quantum state to quantum state, such that one can recover this ABC from the reduced state of it by applying some this CPTP map on BC side, not acting on A. So then you can recover this. And this map is explicitly given in terms of PET recovery map. So this looks like this. But anyway, an important point is from you can recover the whole state by applying some map here, neighbors. Yeah, the central, so by using quantum Markov state, we study those anion theory in without Hamiltonians. And also, important concept to do that is using some notion called information complex, which some people don't like the names, but I'm happy, you know, if you have some alternative, you know, names. But anyway. So what we consider is some region and some flattened region, some region omega and flattened region omega plus. Then we define some set on this flattened region omega plus, such that this is a set of states defined on this region, such that for any balls included in omega plus, we cannot distinguish this state from the reference state. So they are locally indistinguishable from low. So And then we define information convex as just a reduced set of reduced state of elements in this state on omega plus. So this notion is kind of non-trivial, but it has several interesting properties. And first, this, as the as the name says, this set is convex, and also this is totally Hamiltonian free. And also, for example, you can show that if omega is a disk and the reference state satisfies the axioms, then the information convex is just include one element, which is reference state. And this condition is somehow similar to the topological order condition, if you know. But we kind of derive it from other assumption. And this, so this is based on states, but for based on operator algebras, kind of similar concepts are already studied in these two papers, but they are also assuming some commuting Hamiltonian settings. And then, to guarantee, so the nice thing of those information convex is if those two if two regions are connected, then corresponding information convex, they are kind of isomorphic. So suppose you have a omega zero and omega one, and then if omega zero and omega one are connected by some local deformations, then there exists a bijective CPTP map mapping elements from here to here or vice versa. So they are kind of in the level of information convex, they are equivalent. And another nice thing is this bijective CPTP map not only preserving like distance, but also preserving the entropy difference between two different elements. And especially when omegas are annular, then those isomorphism, in general, it depends on the path you deform one to the other. But for annuli, these isomorphisms are the same if they those paths are connected smoothly. What does it mean? It's because in, for example, if you consider torus, then there are possibly different annulus which does not smoothly connect.
So what do you mean by connected by local deformations?
Well, basically, just adding a small region or removing some small region and repeating this many times.
What is the omega then?
Sorry? Omega?
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, this sigma and omega is an element of this one. And these two are element of this one. So for any two elements, entropy difference are preserved. So to prove this isomorphism theorem, there's one useful lemma, which is called merging lemma. So this is kind of generic quantum information result. So suppose we have a set of states, rho ABC and sigma BCD, such that they overlapping on BC and they are equivalent on BC. And each of them, is a quantum Markov state. Then there exists a unique set of combined or merged states on ABCD, which satisfy which locally looks like rho ABC or sigma BCD. And also, again, this is a Markov state. And furthermore, this combined state preserves the entropy difference from the original one in this set. And explicitly, this merged state is just constructed by applying Pett's recovery map of this state to the other rho ABC. And this is sort of a kind of special version of problem called quantum marginal problem, which is in general known in QMA. So the problem is, suppose you have some reduced set of reduced states, possibly overlapping each other. And the question is if there exists a global state on the whole Hilbert space, which have the same marginals as a given set of reduced states.
So the result here is that this set exists?
Yes, this set exists and actually given by this.
So what does the unique mean there?
Unique means if you have a set, if you consider S and sigma, then this state, this there's no other state satisfying this.
Why do you phrase it in terms of a set of states? Is this not a statement that's true for each given
pair?
Oh yeah, actually it's given pair. True, but the point is this construction map is independent of the choice of group.
Ah, okay.
So does the proof of this theorem only rely on Peretz recovery map, or it also uses the structure theorem?
Oh, Peretz recovery map.
So you don't need the structure theorem for this argument?
Yeah. But this contains some exact statement. That I think, yeah, it actually can be extended in approximate case.
Okay, all right.
So how to prove isomorphism theorem? One possible changes of the region is just removing some part. Then this map is just given by partial trace. And another direction is adding some extra region. This part we focus on this and divide the region into more subsystems. And then by using merging lemma, basically what we can do is, because thanks to axiom A1, we have two Markov chains, Markov states, so we can construct some merged state on this combined region, and then we can show this combined state is actually in the information convex or extended region. That's how the proof works. And based on these theorems, now we can study and define charges in these our settings. So we define charges via the information convex on annulus. So we consider annulus. And then we study information convex and show that if omega is an annulus, then any element of information convex can be written in this way. So it's a direct sum of some state associated to some label, finite label set. And this state is independent of choice of sigma. So basically, when you change sigma, then only this probability distribution changes. And also, thanks to the isomorphism theorem, this structure is independent of the shape of the region, so you can just deform these regions. And each rho omega A, intuitively, they are corresponding to the reduced state of excited state when there is some excited pair inside and outside of annulus and with fixed charge. Then, especially if you consider the original reference state, then the reduced state of reference state on omega is always included in information convex, and it is an extreme point. And we define the vacuum as reduced state of the reference state. And also, here we have some finite label set, but as we will see later, for each label, we can show there exists another label, A bar, which plays as a role of anti-charge of the A. So now we have some finite label set, so we define this finite label set appearing in this direct sum structure as the charge set in our formalism. So the proof sketch, so the proof is kind of simple. So we first divide this omega into three thin annuli. And then we first show the lemma that any extreme point in this information convex defined on omega satisfies this induction, which means basically L, reduced set on L and R are uncorrelated. And then by using this lemma, just pick two extreme points. And by the isomorphism theorem, the information convex of omega and this L and R are all connected by bijective CPTP maps. And then calculate fidelity of these two extreme points, then upper bounded by product of these two. And these two fidelities are actually by us the isomorphism theorems equivalent to this one, which means f is smaller than f power 2. And because f is less than 1, so this fidelity can be either 0 or 1, which means orthogonal or identical. So we can show that each extreme points are kind of separated and orthogonal each other, which shows the simplex structure of the information convex for annulus. And to obtain fusion nodes, we just consider region.
Finitely many?
Oh, finitely many follows from the dimension of set of spaces finite. So you cannot have infinite blocks. And isomorphism seldom guarantees the number is invariant.
Do you get a reasonable bound on that number, or do you get some extraordinarily big number?
Oh, we just show that it's a constant.
So, but the number then, by what you just said, it sounds like the number could depend on the size of the system.
Oh, it's not, because we have an isomorphism theorem. So basically, all annulus irrelevant to the sizes, yeah, the number of blocks are the same. So it's independent of the size, actually.
Oh, so is your convex like a simplex, Jeff?
Simplex.
And the number of corners is the number of annulus? Is that the idea?
Yes, yes. So now we consider two hole disks. So these are holes, and we consider this ABC region. And then the element of this information from X of two holes then can be decomposed in, again, some direct sum structure. And each component corresponds to the set of states such that if, for example, in this ABC, if you consider reduced state on B1, which is annulus, then we have the charges. This reduced state should be in the fixed charge A, and the same property holds. So the reduced state on B2 should have a charge B, and the reduced state on C should have a charge C. It may be possible that there is no such a state, then this direct sum just means nothing. I mean, in that part, just zero dimension. So now the main difference from the previous result is now this state, even we fix ABC, we still have some dependency on sigma, which gives us the notion of fusion space. So our theorem, our result is if you consider a set of these states appearing here with fixed charges, then this set actually consists of state space on some finite dimensional Hilbert space, which we denote VABC, and we define this as a kind of fusion space. And also we define the fusion multiplicity as the dimension of this finite fusion Hilbert space, and we denote this in ABC. And then we recover the formal product in this form by just inserting NABC here. So now, because time is kind of limited, so I want to just quickly go through how to prove it. So basically, just pick some extreme point from this set, and then purify this to some pure state. Then next, we consider the reduced state of this purified state, and we can merge this reduced state with another element in this set. Then, by merging them, we get some set of states defined on original omega and E. And what we show is this set of states, merged states, have a nice properties like all the extreme point in this set. Oh, actually, this is not of sigma, but this one. All extreme point in this is mapped to pure state, and also superpositions and mixtures are preserved and still in this set. Yeah. And by using these properties, we can show that this set of merged state is actually some state of space. And complete the proof. And so we define the fusion multiplicities, but it's not enough to say we derive fusion theory, because in the anyon theory, the fusion multiplicities must satisfy some rules, which is, for example, this commutativity rules, like ABC and BSC, the fusion multiplicity is the same. And also, if you have a vacuum and fuse to some charges, then it have to be back to A. And if you have you match two charges and you get some vacuum total charge, then this P is actually must be anti-charge. And also, you know, there is nice duality between charge and those anti-charges. And also, fusion rules must be associative in the sense that if you first merge AB and then merge C, combine C, then it's fusion multiplicity is same as first combine BC and then combine A. And our result is basically show all these five properties based on our information convex strategy and also merging elements. And for simplicity, let's just check one of them about vacuum sector. So suppose to show this, we consider some two hole disks with here the reduced state in the vacuum sector, and here reduced state is in A, and this here is C, and then consider some state have such a property. Then actually one can consider the reduced state of the reference state of the reference state on D, which is covers the left side hole. And then consider the merged state. So we can merge this difference state and this element of information complex to the state of this combined region, which is actually just annulus. And because this is annulus, T omega prime have to have the direct sum structure we derive. And because the reduced state is in A in here, and we have an isomorphism theorem, we can show that this T omega prime should be in the A sector, which basically shows this is this state and C have to be A, otherwise there's no such. So other properties proven in the same way, but more complicated. And finally, we further show some well-known formula for the so-called topological entanglement entropy. So recall that we consider some area law in this form, and this constant term gamma is actually called topological entanglement entropy introduced in these two papers. And these values actually connected to anyon theory, and we covered. So to calculate this gamma, one possible way is consider some regions like this or this, and calculate this complicated linear combination of subregion entropies. And somehow, if you calculate this for these two regions, all of those first leading order terms just cancel out each other. And we obtain S topo, this function is gamma in this region, and this is 2 gamma for this region. And let's say this is KP partition, this is the beam partition. And then this gamma is connected to the quantity called quantum dimension. So here we define quantum dimension as a set of real values satisfying this formula given by fusion rule. And there are possible possibly there are several solutions of this equation satisfying, but if you impose that this DA have to be positive and larger than one, then the solution have to be unique by Perron-Fulopnik's theorem. And we call this unique positive numbers as a quantum dimension. It's a kind of internal, the size of the internal degrees of freedom of the each anions. But it can be real in general. Anyway. So what people observed is actually in Levin-Wien models, like some exactly solvable models, or if you assume TQFT description, then you can calculate this gamma and show that this gamma have to be logarithm of this average quantum dimension. But you have to assume this to show this. And what we obtained is actually we can recover this formula from just by using area law stuff. And how to do that? To show that, we first study the entropic contribution in the sense that if you consider annulus, then there are similar states correspond to each pixel charges. And we define the difference of entropies from the vacuum as the two FA, which is just some function of charge, possibly depend on omega. Oh, so this is independent of omega because isomorphism connecting to annular preserves the entropy difference. That's the point. And then consider two whole annulus and divide it into three halves, three parts. And then consider left LM, region LM, which is annulus, and pick some extreme points, rho A, and also pick some another extreme points from the right annulus, rho B M1, and then merge them. Then we get some state defined on LMR. And merging lemma says this state has to be a Markov state. And by using that, then we can decompose total entropy in terms of subsystem entropies, which derives this first formula. And also, we can actually show that this state is has a maximum entropy on sigma y. And we can calculate if this state has the maximum entropy, possible maximum entropy difference, which is derived in this formula. Then compiling these two, we get this FA plus FB have to be this logarithm of this thing. In other words, we get this formula. Because quantum dimension is a unique solution of this kind of formula, we get FA have to be this logarithm of quantum dimension. That's the strategy. So we show that this entropy difference have to be connected to this quantum dimension things. And then by using this, we consider annulus and divide it into three parts. And again, consider some left parts and right parts. And then these are equivalent to disks. So those are actually equivalent to the reduced state of the reference states. And then merge it. Then we get some state in information convex, which is actually not a vacuum. But is it? It is actually a maximum entropy state in this combined information convection of annulus. And because in annulus, every state can be written in this way, and also entropy should follow this formula, we can calculate what's the maximum entropy state, which is given by this. And because this merged state is quantum Markov state, we can actually calculate the S-topo by using these subsystem entropies, which end up this logarithm of D square. This is a whole structure of how to connect entropy to quantum dimensions. Okay, so now move to open questions. So far we have obtained fusion rules and charges and fusion rules and also some nice entropy formula, but we still lack these statistics, blending statistics. So the problem of our framework is because we are considering set of reduced states, which are basically mixed states. It's hard to see if this is phase factor, those phase factor just cancel that. So it's a bit hard to extract those phase information in our settings. But last week was, yeah, maybe last week. In last week, there is there's a paper in archive which explains how way to extract these matrices ambiguously from microscopic description. So maybe we can just employ the method to derive F and matrix in our context. And another interest is there are three charges, fusion rules, and F and matrix, but there are other topological quantities like topological spins, S matrix, T matrix. And just today on archive, my collaborator uploaded a paper which extends our methods to show initiality of so called S matrix, which are also important for any phase characterization. And another question is, so even though if we get complete anion theory, we have to show stability of the anion theory in the sense that if you have a two state or two systems in the same phase, they have to be in the same class So they should have the same like charges and same set of fusions, etc. And proving it seems hard in our settings. This is basically because we assume two axioms, but this axiom is not true in generic states. So there are some cases in which this condition violates, not approximately. So, and these states are so-called states with spurious torsional entanglement entropy. And now people are studying what's the origin and how they behave. Basically, those spurious topological entanglement entropy occurs in states in trivial phase, so not in topological phase. So in 2008, Bravi found that there exists a ground state which is not in any topological ordered phase, but has positive conditional mutual information, which means so this formula doesn't hold in these weird examples. And the example is actually a 1D cluster state embedded in this 2D lattice in weird way, so it's not homogeneous. But actually, this non-zero contribution comes because this cluster state is classified in 1D Z2 times D2 SPT phase. And recently, this result is extended in more natural way, and there actually exist translational invariant systems which still have similar violation properties. And these are known as ground setting Z2 times D2 subsystem SPT phase somehow. So it may be true that this violation happens if and only if this subsystem SPT thing happens. But I and Fernando now have some evidence that this is not limited for SPT origins. So it's open. Yes?
I'm confused. Are you saying that these systems do not satisfy the area law plus the constant?
Yeah, there is some constant which does not behave as a gamma.
Okay, but it's still the same formula.
Same formula, but additional terms, I would say.
How do you distinguish those additional constants from the constant?
That's open problem. So that causes a problem. That's clear. But how to distinguish it and when does it appear? Those are open problems. Anyway, let's summarize my talk. So you basically derive the anion theory from the area law. Well, it's a part of, not F and matrix, but I'm kind of expecting that we can derive those F and matrix. So, and in our framework, charges and fusion rules are defined via the structure of the information convex for the various regions like annuli or two hollow disks. Then from these definitions, we prove these concepts we defined satisfy all the necessary requirements in conventional anion theory. And also we additionally show that the subleading term of the area law, if it holds, then must be this logarithm of total quantum dimension. And the next step is defining those R and F matrices. And also the challenge is showing stability of our theorems. Yeah, that's all. Thank you. Yes.
Any questions?
Sure.
Okay, so what's wrong in 3D?
3D, I think we can also study the structure of information convex by considering general like shell-like regions or etc. But I'm not sure what's happening. Yeah, but
you get some kind of field algebra.
Indeed, yeah.
Yes.
But the assumptions, these two assumptions should be generalized in 3D case in a natural way. So maybe there are some additional axioms because of the geometric structure of 3D systems. But I think implicitly it's possible to do similar things in 3D.
Then I was thinking that for fractals, you still have this kind of geometry.
Or in 3D fractal systems, entropy behaves more in a different way. So it's not clear what we can say.
The area role?
Yeah, all page ideal, but the subleading terms, I think it somehow behaves in a weird way. And I'm not sure if we, so basically the point is we can use lots of quantum Markov state techniques, but as in fractal phase, I'm not sure if the ground state have those quantum Markov structure. So that's a crucial point.
Yes. And also another question is, assuming that you start with a topological ordered state, and can you show that, the field algebra you derived is the same as before, is the same as the true algebra?
You have to do for explicit models, and you have to do case by case. But for example, toric code, you can do that, and it,
but not in general.
In general, it's a hard question.
Okay.
You know, calculating information convex in practical way is hard because you have to. Collect all states which are locally indistinguishable from the ground state.
So the corners in the information class is not one to one corresponding to those anions?
Oh, we expect it is in the conventional sense, but proving it for explicit models is kind of a different question and it seems complicated.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
So one very quick question. You mentioned earlier that even when there's a subleading term, which is not zero,
mm-hmm.
one of x is one, which means that the Markov condition would be approximately satisfied.
Yeah. Markov conditions are approximately satisfied. Then by using the Fauzi-Lenard result, we can extend the merging lemma we used to approximate settings. Then all the arguments can be just. It's straightforwardly.
Because you deform your region a lot, wouldn't you collect a lot of terms?
Well, maybe the error, so bounding those errors are kind of non-trivial, but.
Okay. All right. If no more questions, then let's thank Kozaro for the very nice talk.
Thank you.